in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3. Paul says, I fear. Now, the thing he's afraid of is that they're going to get hurt. Or that they're going to get, what's another word I can use? That they're going to get stolen. That they're going to get captured by something that would take them away from where God wants them to be. I can't even begin to tell you story after story after story. We haven't got the time of people I've seen throughout the years that started out and then dropped out. And Brother Mendez and I talk about this constantly. Folks, the Lord's going to come back.
Amen.
And if he doesn't come get you, you're going to go see him. It's one or the other. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I learned something a long time ago. You don't motivate people by making them afraid. I wish it worked. I'd like to use it. If I try to, you think about it. Many years ago, they were saying, oh, you know, we got to warn people about cigarettes. And so they put this message on the side of the cigarettes. It started out with, hey, this could be bad for you. And then as the years went on, the message changed. The message now basically says, this is going to kill you if you do this. People still smoke. So you don't motivate people with fear. Let me motivate you with something else. You love the Lord? Do you want to disappoint him? See, the thing that can happen is the devil is so subtle. He came to Eve in the garden. First question, what are you doing talking to a snake? Second question, what are you doing talking to somebody that questions God? Amen? He said, yea, hath God said. And he said, ye shall not surely die. Guess what? God was right. So anyway, he came to Eve, and she suffered as a consequence. Adam suffered as a consequence. We've suffered as a consequence. And the sad thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered as a consequence. Do you want to disappoint the one that died to pay for your sins? No. And when you stand before him one day, I'm not worried about wrath. I'm worried about sadness. I'm worried about tears of sadness that the Lord would... I think when the Lord... If you remember the story when Peter was in the garden, remember when that... Not the garden, the courtyard. They were unjustly accusing Jesus. And Peter had denied him three times. Remember that? They said, you are one of his disciples. No, I'm not one of his disciples. And the third time he cursed. And the interesting thing is, the woman that was talking to him knew he was one of the disciples because she had just let John in, and she knew John was one of the disciples. So Peter wasn't fooling anybody except himself. And the Lord looked over at him. And I don't think the Lord looked over at him with anger. It was sadness. And, of course, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But going with all this is, when we serve the Lord, one of these days... we're going to stand before him. And what Paul says, I'm afraid because it's possible you could be captured by something. You could be tricked by something. You could be deceived by something. And a lot of folks are. I can't keep telling stories. Just look at the rest of the verse. He says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. God, help us to not just understand this, but to take it seriously and to take the admonition, the caution, the warning, the encouragement that Paul has to give. God, help us to be amongst those, keep us amongst those that do not get caught and captured and taken away. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin reading a little bit more of this so you can kind of see what Paul's doing here in chapter 11. He says in verse 1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He's saying, kind of hear this out to the conclusion. Don't make a decision too quick here. He says, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, he doesn't want anything to corrupt us. He wants to present us to Christ. He wants to present the Corinthians to Christ. We'd like to present you to Christ in a pure form. not having been captured or tainted or injured by believing something that's not Bible. And so let me keep on reading here. So then he says in verse 3, he's afraid. He says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. Look at verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, wow, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And he's saying, you know, you won't listen to me, but then I'm afraid you're going to listen to somebody else. And he goes on and explains some things, but I just want to stop right there and talk about those three things for a few moments. Let's get some words out of the way. The word jealous. I used to think when I was a little boy that jealousy was a sin, but you know, God's a jealous God. Amen. We belong to God. And we need to belong to, we need to love God to the exclusion of other gods. Amen? To love other gods is adulterous spiritually. The word espoused means to be joined together. It was a Hebrew tradition, a Hebrew custom that when you were going to be married, that you would be espoused before the ceremony. There was still a marital contract, if you will. And folks, we are espoused to Christ. We have not yet seen the redemption of our body. We're not in heaven yet, but we belong to Him. And if we try, or if we choose, or if we get deceived, and we pull back from Him and go to some other God or some other faith or some other whatever it might be, we are being unfaithful to the one that we are espoused to. Of course, the word chaste simply means pure. To be beguiled, as he mentions there in verse 3, is simply to be tricked. And then simplicity, that's an interesting statement in verse 3, the simplicity that's in Christ. Singleness, free from any pretense or corruption or hypocrisy. The illustration would be this. You go to the doctor, and the doctor has been treating you for some illness, and the doctor says to you, some complications have set in. And I don't want to hear that, right? I don't want anything coming along that's going to make things worse. I don't want to let anything like that happen. And you may not have control of that in a medical situation, but in spiritual life, you do. I'll read you something out of 1 Timothy, and you can just listen and don't need to turn there. In chapter 6, he says this, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. You might not like to hear this, but I just have to say to you, most religion today, let me amend that statement, most Christianity today falls into that category. If you surveyed, I've got some interesting statistics, if you surveyed the entire world, and they've got people that have done various surveys and so on, and you ask people, what church do you belong to? You know, what religion are you part of? What denomination do you follow or whatever? There are over of the, and I know the numbers have changed, but we're somewhere between 6 and 7 billion. Have we crossed 7 billion yet? Anybody know we bypassed 7 billion, Wayne? 7 billion people on the planet. Over 1 billion of them identify as Catholics. And I got to tell you something. Catholic doctrine says that you are saved by being part of the Catholic Church, and that you are saved by the sacraments, and you are saved by what you do. And about 85% of the Catholics that were surveyed back about 20 years ago said that their works were necessary to get them to heaven. So that's a sad thought, because if a billion people think they're going to work and be part of a church and do sacraments to get to heaven instead of trusting in Christ, that's a billion souls that have been deceived. Right. Amen. How many of you were saved out of Catholicism? A lot of us. And quite honestly, you know what I'm talking about. We're riding through a neighborhood in Monterrey, Mexico, outside Monterrey, Mexico, in a little village outside Monterrey, Mexico. It was about a bunch of us in a van on a Sunday morning going to church. And we drove through this little very poor area, no running water and dirt streets, and you've been to some parts of Mexico like that. And I saw something white kind of in the distance. Now, what on earth is that? Nothing in Mexico is white. And there's this bright white, and as we got closer, I could recognize it was a Catholic priest, and it was his robe. I don't know how he got it that white. And he was standing there with his arms out, and he looked religious. Folks, the devil's an angel of light. And you can look anything you want to. If you don't have Christ, you're not what you ought to be. I got to give you some more illustrations. You understand where I'm going with this. You think about all the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of people that would say that they follow Christ, but the Mormons have got the Christ. Their Christ is a spirit brother of the devil. They believe that Jesus and the devil were brothers. That's blasphemy. Yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus that did not rise from the grave bodily, which is what he talks about in John when he says if they don't believe Jesus came in the flesh, that they're Antichrist. That's not the right Jesus. The Mormons have a gospel that says you have to work to be saved, like the Catholics do, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do, like a lot of religions do. Lutherans even, for example, many believe that. I just want you to understand, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. And there's a lot of opportunity to be deceived. And there's a lot of people that are deceived. And don't take it for granted that you found the truth, but don't get away from it. Now, where do you find the truth? In the Word of God. And how do you know it's the truth? Because when you read the Word of God, if the Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible says to call no man on earth your father. We went through that in Matthew not too long ago. I don't know how you go to a Catholic church after you've read that verse. The Bible says that there's no marriage in heaven. I don't know how you go to a Mormon church after that verse. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He is God. In every way he can be God, he is God. He's not a lesser God. He's not a created God. Nothing was made unless Jesus made it. I don't know how you'd be a Jehovah's Witness after that. The Bible says that the thief on the cross, hanging on the cross, crucified because of his wickedness, said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And he did not hop off of that cross and get baptized. I don't know how you can be a Church of Christ after knowing that. I know a man in Thailand, John Pantowit, up in North Thailand. I guess he's still alive. It's been 15 years, I guess, since I saw him, 10 or 15. John Pantowit. average life expectancy of the people he works with is about 50 years because the quality of the food they eat is so poor. John Pantowit, an amazing man, speaks English, Thai, Alaho, which is an Indian language, Akka is another Indian language, and he speaks Chinese, a little bit of Chinese. Plays the guitar, plays the piano, preaches like nobody's business. Grew up in a Church of Christ school and went to a Baptist activity and got saved. And he went back and he asked the Church of Christ, he said, "Hey, I need to know something. That man on the cross that didn't get baptized, Jesus said, 'This day shalt thou be with me in paradise.' He never got baptized. What happened to him?" The Church of Christ fellow said he went to hell. And he said, "I'm done with that." Because the Bible says Jesus said to stay in paradise. Amen? You see, it's really simple. What the Bible says is the truth. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ made the gospel simple. Amen? Amen? By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. What's grace? Something you don't deserve. Through faith. What is the means of grace? If you know anything about denominations, they use this term, means of grace. Oh, the sacraments, they say, are a means of grace. Oh, baptism is a means of grace. Oh, the Mass is a means of grace. No, faith is the means of grace. Amen? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's simple. A lot of people today that are getting deceived. And I think they're accountable for that. Now, I understand there are some pretty tricky people out there. In New York City, we've been there. How many of you have been to New York City? Wow. It's hard to believe the place exists. I remember the first time I saw it from a distance, I thought, how can a place be that big? And then when you're downtown in New York City, first you got to find a place to park. Good luck with that. And then you're walking around, and you know two or three things. First of all, there are people that are going to do everything they can to get their hands in your pocket and steal your money. So you keep your hands on your money all the time. But then there's going to be some guy there on the street playing some game. They used to call it the shell game. Everybody see the shell game? They got the three shells. And this guy is going to move them around and he's going to ask you which one the object is underneath, the stone or the pea or whatever. And if you can guess it right, you win. Guess what? You're never going to win. Now, I have a real easy way to always succeed when I come across the shell game. You know what that is? Don't play. I have a real easy way to succeed when you come across somebody with some interesting doctrine. Don't play. Amen? Here's the good news. You got saved and God directed you to a church. Stay put. Amen? Now, I can do the best I can to certify to you that when I preach, I do all I can to preach the truth. And that comes from training, it comes from study, it comes from conviction. I do not think some, oh, wow, what a fascinating new doctrine. There's a new doctrine here. I can teach my people. No. Just teach the Bible. And you know what your job is? To know the Bible. It's that simple. The simplicity that's in Christ. So I got about 5 minutes. There's three things here I want to show you that the devil uses to attack. One of them is, you've already kind of seen it, added complications. People are fascinated with things that are new. He says in verse 4, what if somebody preached another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel which ye have not accepted? And then he says, and he's being kind of satirical here a little bit. He says, you might well bear with him, but don't. Don't listen. Amen? When we lived in Salt Lake City, the Mormons literally in Salt Lake City know every house. They know if you're a Mormon, if you live there, you're not a Mormon. They call the non-Mormons what? Gentiles, I think, isn't it, Deborah? And then there's the guys like me that are in the ministry. Oh, they know who I was. And they didn't come by our house but a couple of times, and that was the end of it because they knew who lived there. But when they did come by, oh, they're so friendly. They were knocking doors in our neighborhood one morning. And I walked up to they were at this fellow's chain link fence. And he had a chain link fence. And he was inside the fence. And they were outside the fence. They were talking to him. And I was driving by. And I stopped and parked my car. And I walked over. I knew the guy. Not real well, but I knew him from being in the neighborhood. And these two Mormon missionaries are talking to him. I didn't look at them. I looked straight at him. And I said, listen to me. He just got out of the car. Walked up to him. I said, listen to me. If you listen to what these two guys tell you, you're going to go straight to hell. They thought I was joking. Oh, they all laughed. Oh, that's funny. I just stood there, and they realized I wasn't joking. It's not a joke, is it? It's the truth. All of a sudden, things got real serious. And then I told the fellow, I said, I live right over there in that house, if you might know who I am. And if you've got any questions about it, please come talk to me. And I gave him a tract, and I left. Folks, those people are sending folks to hell. Now, it's not our job to run them over with the car or whatever. Please don't do that. God will take care of that. But do you know what God did to keep people from being deceived by the Mormons? He gave them the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Catholics or the Buddhists or Islam or anybody else. We have the Bible. It's just that simple. Someone says, well, there's more to it. You need the Book of Mormon or you need tradition like the Catholic Church says. We're going to add some complication here. No. All I need is the Bible. Amen? And if it says it, that settles it. Another way the devil's going to attack, he's going to add complications. He's going to try to show you another Christ. Another spirit, perhaps. Wow, there's a lot of that going around. We've been teaching on the Holy Spirit in Sunday school. Do you know there are so many people that have no idea who the Holy Spirit really is, and they think the Holy Spirit is going to make you have some ecstatic experience or speak some unknown language or do something strange like that? You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to draw you to Christ. He's going to teach you to understand the Bible. He's going to cause you to have a conviction for lost souls. Have you noticed when people get saved? Watch this sometime. I've seen it so many times I've lost track. When people get saved, many times the first thing they will say is, I can't wait until I tell so-and-so. Amen? Stephen's chuckling back there. I told you this story of this guy in our church in Maryland, or in Utah. And he was getting married to this girl that went to the University of Utah. Her name was Sherry. And she got saved. And she said, I can't wait to go back to the fraternity party tonight and tell them all I found Christ. And she did. And they didn't quite see it the way she did. That's okay. Jesus does. Amen? I remember when I got saved, I wanted to tell some people. How many of you kind of had that experience? You wanted to tell somebody, amen? That's the Holy Spirit. I didn't do cartwheels and speak 17 different unknown languages and fall down like I was dead and laugh. No, that's ridiculous. What I did was I wanted to tell people about Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. There is a counterfeit spirit floating around out there. There's a lot of counterfeit gospels, like he says there in verse 4. He says, or another gospel. There's a lot of false gospels out there. Has anybody here ever had a counterfeit bill and you didn't realize it and you tried to spend it and then you couldn't? Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. I'd hate to have that happen to you, Joey. It happened to you? What size denomination was it? What size was it? What size bill was it? Whew. $100 bill? Yeah. And you go to the bank to deposit it, and the bank says, no good. And then, what do you do? What can you do? You lose. The fellow that pushed that off on you, he got away with $100 in merchandise or change or both. Wouldn't you hate to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you? Can you imagine that? That's a one-time shot, folks. You don't get to go back and try again. Amen? Another gospel. That's horrible. If there's a doctor in town and he's a quack and he's selling fake medicine. You heard that story probably a few years ago. Some people, I forgot where it was now, and they were diluting cancer medicine because it was very expensive. And so they were giving people diluted doses. And these diluted doses of medicine, they were charging full price for it, but it wasn't healing people. Because they wanted to make money, they're killing people so they can make a little money. That's what false gospels are, right? So Paul, he's got a reason to be serious about this. He says, I fear lest by any means, just like the serpent beguiled Eve, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. People that add complications, people with another Christ, another spirit, another gospel, people that attack the character of God's people. I'm going to start a discipleship class, which is really a new members, new converts class, this Sunday morning. We're going to start in Sunday school. Brother Dahlman's going to be teaching in the auditorium on Proverbs, right? Job. Okay. Oh, that's a good book. Job. Okay. So if you're a new church member, or if you are a new convert, or if you would like to come to my class, I'm not sure, where should I have that, Brother Mendez? Over here? Yeah, we'll meet over here in the school building. Which room has the best air conditioning, Brother Greg? Okay, we'll pick a room, all right? Sunday morning, we'll all meet in here, and then after we sing, we'll divide up and go to the class. And I was asking myself today a little bit more about what I should teach. I made a note to myself. I would like to fortify new Christians to equip them to edify, which means build up, to edify them so that they won't get drug away. So they won't get stolen by the devil or by somebody who's given false doctrine. Amen? That's not a bad way to be. And I said at the beginning, I said, don't take it for granted. You know, the very fact that you're here tonight is because God's been merciful and kept you here. Amen? So don't let anything mess that up. It's so simple. The Bible is not, I know there's some deep things in here, but all in all, the Bible is a very straightforward book. The gospel is a very straightforward gospel. The Holy Spirit even is very straightforward in what he does. And the Lord Jesus Christ is very straightforward in what he does and how he deals with us. And don't let anybody steal you away. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.